Let's ask the Lord to help us understand the scriptures. We do pray, Heavenly Father, for more grasp of truth, and then we pray for the truth to grasp us, that it would change us and affect us and help us to come more and more into obedience to you, Lord. Teach us more things that will be practical and useful in our families and our homes, that we may be a testimony one to another and to our neighbors, the people we know. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The first two verses that we'll look at are verses 5 and 6 in Hebrews chapter 12, where we have these words, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So the first thing we want to do is we want to make sure this is on. Is it on? Yes, it is. First thing we want to do is we want to recognize that our Father in heaven, God the Father, chastens us. All right? That's the first thing we notice in this, that we're not to despise, we're not to faint God's chastening, that God is chastening us. It's always good when we read this word to remember that this part of the word means pure. So what God is doing is he is correcting us. He's purifying us. And so we read that in these verses, it's a fact of life. And God does this because he loves us. You know, possibly the book in the Bible that has more to say about chastening than any other book is the book of Proverbs. I went looking for verses in Proverbs on chastening, and I found a number of them. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24 refers to the chastening that we often think about, and that is our children. You parents probably think about this every once in a while, that you have to chasten your children. We need to remember that God is at work in this. And the reason fathers chasten their children, they correct their children, they try to purify what's going on in their children's lives, is because they love them. And Proverbs 13:24 says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes," or chasteneth him as often as is needed. So the scripture is telling us here how important this subject is. And do you see here what's going on? That there is a chastening process here, there's a chastening process here, and there's a chastening process here going on. It's important for us to get hold of that. I would like to ask you, can any of you remember any time when the Lord has corrected you? When he has chastened you, when he has turned you from the course of action you were following to his course of action? Well, it's a fact of life. That's what God does. So interesting in the Bible, I'm going to write it over here. The word for child and the word for training or instructing and the word for chastening in the New Testament all come from the same word. The word is paideia. You don't have to remember that. That's not vital for you to hold on to. But that word is the word for child or children. It's the word for education and training. And it's the word for discipline or chastening. And we can see that when a child is in training, it's going to involve God purifying us and correcting us when we do wrong. You remember in school, when you were in school and your teacher would point out to you that you wrote a letter backwards. I have several bookmarks in my Bible that come from some of my grandchildren. And I like to look at them because some of them have letters written backwards.
And I expect their parents corrected that. Well, examples of God chastening his own children. Who can you think of in the Bible that was one of God's children, they belonged to the Lord, and the Lord corrected them? Would you hold your hand up and tell me someone the Lord corrected? Joy? All right, the Lord spoke to him, rebuked him, even refused to allow him to go into the promised land. Moses is an example. Lynette? David, through the death of the child that was conceived of Bathsheba when David was immoral. Tamara? Good. And that one is when... Get thee behind me, Satan. Did you know there's a really beautiful text, and I think it's in Luke, that when Peter denied the Lord the third time, Jesus was within seeing distance, and he turned and looked at him. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. That's who can tell us another one? Did you have another one? Yes. Jonah. I was hoping somebody would say Jonah. What did the Lord use to chasten Jonah? Oh, big fish and a storm and all sorts of things. Tell me another one. Yes, Abby.
Jacob.
Oh, what happened there? Was that chastening? Okay. I was thinking you're going to tell me how the Lord grabbed him by the muscle of the thigh and it shriveled up. Can you tell me another one? I'm waiting one more. Elijah. Okay, was that when he ran from Jezebel? Is that what you're thinking of? Okay, good. And Lynette? Adam and Eve out of the garden? Wow, that's really strong, isn't it? Because that actually took their lives. Have you thought about the prodigal son and how the prodigal son was selfish and he demanded his inheritance and he went and wasted it? You know, prodigal doesn't mean wandering. Prodigal means wasteful. Do you know that? And when he went and wasted his inheritance, where did he end up? In a pig pen, hungry, wanting to eat pig food. One of our friends, Kyle Sutton, is a pastor, I think, still in Melbourne, and he works to reach Jews. And one time I preached on the prodigal son. He came to me afterward, and he said, the prodigal son, let's see, what did he do? He dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and hit the trail when he repented. That's not a bad outline, is it? All right, here we go. So we're thinking about the importance of chastening. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5 warns the Christians of forgetting the exhortation that says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It's good for us to remember that God is always working to correct us when we're wrong, but sometimes he has to speak loudly. He has to rebuke us. That's a strong word. And sometimes he has to scourge us. What does scourge mean? A whip or a rod or a paddle? Sometimes the Lord has to do that. Many times the Lord will just work to correct us. But if he has to speak strongly to us, he will. And then if he has to take something in hand and hit us with it, he can do that as well. So, we're thinking about this. Look in verses 7 and 8, because in verses 7 and 8, if ye endure chastening, if you're going through a purifying as a Christian, God is dealing with you. God dealeth with you as with sons. It's a proof that you belong to the Lord. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, if God never has to smack you, never has to point out where you're wrong, whereof all are partakers, every believer is a partaker, then are ye illegitimate. You pretend to be one of God's children, but you're not really. The word that's used here is a word that is really thought to be in our society a bad word. It's the word bastard. It means that you don't have God as your father. You have someone else as your father. This is a really strong word. You are bastards and not sons. So the Lord really speaks to us here that this is a proof of sonship. Does anyone ever say to you, I'm not sure I'm saved? Does anyone ever say that to you? I'm not sure I'm saved. You know what's one of the good things you can say to them? Does God ever chasten you? Because if you're saved, God will chasten you. He will correct you. And if they say, No, the Lord never chastens me. He never rebukes me. He never scourges me. Then I say, well, then we need to talk about your salvation. Because it is a proof of sonship. So ask yourself the question, does the Lord ever chasten you? Then let's go down to verses 9 and 10. Our response, let's read these verses. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, our dad, my dad, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they, our parents, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, that's the Father of spirits, that's God, chastens us for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So this is an important lesson for us to have a respectful attitude, a reverent, to be subject to the Father who is chastening us. He has some good plans in mind. He's correcting us because he wants to work good things in our lives. I know you probably are weary of Pastor telling you illustrations. But we had a family stay with us one time in Cairns. The dad was an alcoholic. Mom and dad had conflict. The dad kept the two older boys. And mom and the younger children, I think there were three of them or so, that came and stayed with us. And one morning, the mother said to me, I need some help. She said, the little boy, whose nickname was Bully, she said, he says he's not going to school today. And I told him he is going to school today. And he wasn't very big. He was only about this tall. But she said, he's too strong for me. She said, I can't hold on to him and smack him at the same time. He's too strong. I said, well, I'm not going to smack him. He's not my son. She said, no, I don't want you to smack him. I just want you to hold him. Now, that's an unusual request, isn't it? Do you remember this, Joy? Do you remember this, Joanna? And I said, are you sure? She said, yes. If you'll hold on to him, just hold on to his arms. She said, I'll smack him. And she said, because he is disobeying. I said, all right. So I held on to him. And she got a paddle, or I don't know if she used the paddle that we had for Jeremy. None of the girls, of course, ever had to have it. But whatever she got, and she smacked him on the backside. Well, did he play up? He kicked and jumped and yelled and screamed. And it was all I could do to hold the little guy. And she smacked him, and he yelled and screamed some more. And she smacked him some more, and he broke. And when he broke, he said, I'll go to school. Like this. We put the paddle away, got in the car, and he sang all the way to school. Now, what happened there? She was wise enough to get past the anger stage with him, where he was angry, to the fear stage, where he respected her for exercising parental authority. Did you know that our Heavenly Father has to do that with us? He tries to correct us, and we resist. So he rebukes us, sometimes here, sometimes from the pulpit, sometimes from our parents, sometimes from a stranger. He rebukes us and we just ignore it. So the Lord then uses the rod. And that's biblical. Did you know how biblical that is, that God uses the rod? Let me read you some verses. In Proverbs, it says here, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. So I need to have a tender heart and be wise. When God rebukes me, I need to say, yes, Lord. Then Proverbs 20 and verse 30 says, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. Please, please understand. I'm not saying that you should hit your kid and leave bruises. Please understand that. And then the verse goes on to say, so do stripes cleanse the inward parts of the belly. And then Proverbs 22:15, we sort of said this was Jeremy's life verse when he was young. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Then Proverbs 23:13-14, withhold not correction from the child. That's here. That's simple. Correction from the child. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, that's the scourge. We've gone past rebuke and we're down now to the rod. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Now, as far as I know, I never got any bruises or wounds from my parents when they applied the Board of Education to the seat of learning, which was so badly needed in my case, all right? Mother was helping me when I was a little boy to wash up before going to bed. She said, "Where did you get all these bruises all over your legs?" I said, "That's where you hit me when you smacked me." She said, "No, that's where you fell off your push bike." And she was right and I was wrong. I made false accusations against my dear mother. Well, the Bible says that it is necessary for corporal punishment, for physical punishment to be exercised. But parents, please remember that it starts here. And if it's done well here, it doesn't always go even here. And then it may not have to go there. So we don't start off. You see it happen in grocery stores where a little kid pushes over a stack of tins of vegetables and dad clouts him or mom clouts him or something. And it's because the parents were embarrassed. They didn't think it through. They didn't talk it over. They didn't explain it to the child. They didn't do the corrective. They didn't rebuke. They just immediately took to the paddle or whatever. And that's improper. That's not what the Bible's teaching. It is so important. Now, we want to finish up with these verses, looking at verse number 12. Verse 11 says, let's read it again. Now, no chastening, verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. We don't enjoy it. When God chastens us, when we have to chasten our children, or God chastens our children, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Did you know that there are three ways we can respond to the Lord's chastening? We can faint, or we can despise the chastening of the Lord, or we can faint, or we can be exercised by it, which means we receive the correction. We say, "You were right. I had to tell my parents. I wish I had told them earlier, but I had to tell my parents. I should have had more smacks than I got. Thank you very much for the ones you gave me. You helped me enormously. Thank you very much." And have you said that to your Heavenly Father? "Lord, you have chastened me. You have smacked me. And thank you very much for that. I needed that." It is important. We need to remember the blessings. Proverbs 17, we read those verses. I want to read you one more. Proverbs 29, verse 15. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." The rod and reproof give wisdom. There are great benefits in chastening. Great benefits when the Lord chastens me. Great benefits when He helps me to chasten my children when they were young. I don't do that now. Great benefits when the Heavenly Father chastens our children. Now I'm going to tell you a story and we'll close. It's one of the saddest experiences of my life because it has to do with the great danger in not chastening our children. Because when we do not chasten our children, when we do not correct our children, working through the process, When we do not chasten our children, we are teaching them by our actions that God does not chasten His. So if I don't chasten my children, if I didn't chasten my children, I will be teaching by my actions that God does not chasten us and He will not chasten them. It's a dangerous error. We will teach them by our actions that God does not chasten us. All right, or God does not chasten His children. So when God does chasten them, they do not know what is happening. Parents haven't told them how it works or how they should respond to it. Foolish parents say things like this. They say, when we say to them, you should chasten your children, they say, we tried it and it didn't work. Now listen, we tried it and it didn't work. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. The rod of reproof will drive it far from him. God says it will work. It does work. Many of you are living proof that it works. But foolish parents say, we tried using the rod and it didn't work, so we gave it up. And I say, why did it not work? I suspect it did not work because the children did not see in their parents' life God chastening them and them responding with wisdom, being exercised by God's chastening. They saw nothing that they needed to learn from. And so the result of that is children not seeing it in their parents' lives and them understanding what God was doing when He chastened them, nor them being exercised by it. So they copied their parents' responses. They despised and they fainted. They ignored the chastening of God. And as a result, if the pastor or youth leader or Sunday school teacher or someone else, a school teacher at school, lovingly reproves and rebukes them in order to correct them, or if their church puts them under discipline, they become angry and make false accusations against all their reprovers because they don't know how God does His work of chastening. It's just so vital for us to teach our children this. We don't believe in abusing our children, not at all, never. We're not interested in that. We don't believe that. But if we don't correct them, we'll reap terrible results. I'm watching the destruction of families on the tableland whose the parents do not know how to be chastened and respond correctly, and they haven't taught their children, and they haven't chastened their children properly, and their children are out of control, and there are families that will reap terrible consequences and results simply because the parents didn't do it right. And then the parents didn't do it right. And then the children didn't do it right. So it's just so vital. It's one of the most important lessons we can learn in our families is what does the Bible say about correcting lovingly and working through all these things. I don't want to keep you, but I remember there were times, and since Jeremy's not here, we can use him, can't we? Times when Jeremy would do something ridiculous, and I would say to him, come on, son, we have to have a talk. And we'd go and sit down. We'd usually go in the bedroom and close the door, and I'd say, now, son, what you did, what you said is not allowed, and we can't do that. And it's serious what you've done, son, and I have to tell you it's wrong. That's where rebuke comes in. And I'm going to have to say, son, I need you to go in the kitchen and look in the drawer and bring me the big stick. Well, the big stick was about that long, and it had a handle, and it was flat, and all the edges were rounded over, so there was going to be no bruises or anything like that. And Jeremy would say to me, Dad, I hate the big stick. I hate the big stick. And so he'd go in to get the big stick, and I'd say, okay, three smacks, that's all you need for this. But don't put your hand behind your back, because if you put your hand there, you get another one for every time you put your hand there. And so we'd work through it. Once we got through, we'd put the big stick down, and then I'd cuddle him, and we'd talk about it, and we'd work through it. And he would usually end up clinging to me and saying, Dad, thank you for loving me, and thank you, Dad, for smacking me when I needed, and thank you, Dad, for having the big stick. I said, when you get big, I'm going to give you the big stick. He said, I'm going to burn it. And then he said, no, I won't. I'm going to keep it because I'm going to have kids. I don't know whatever happened to it. He's probably still has it. All right. Okay, thank you for listening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that we'll be really sensitive to the Lord's chastening of us. Big people, grown-up people, old people, young people, that if we're God's children, He's going to correct us, and we're thankful for that. So we ask you, Lord, that you'd help us to model that, to display that, demonstrate it in our home, that when the Lord corrects us, we tell our children, God smacked me for doing wrong, that the Lord rebuked me for doing wrong. He's correcting me. And help us to do that so our children learn that that's normal, that's right, that's the way God does things. Help us to train them so that they'll be good parents in time to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.